Hey friends, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment I want to jump into part two of my little mini series on how to read the Bible, how to fall in love with reading the Bible, how to change your relationship with reading the Bible so it no longer becomes a chore, which to be honest, it is for a lot of people. All of us have been there. And how to literally make it a delight, how to get addicted to reading this book. And even more than that, which is really what I want to press into today, how to develop a relationship with this book where it's no longer a book. It's actually God speaking to you. Really important truth. Hey, we're going to jump into that in a moment. A few quick updates. I'm recording this on Saturday morning, January 20th. Hey, we have a Christmas service this afternoon, 5 p.m. in Norwalk, Connecticut, Flax Hill Road. You're invited. If you're in the New York area, Southern Connecticut, we'd love to see you there. Tomorrow morning, got another service here in Sturbridge, Massachusetts at 10 a.m. in Sturbridge Worship Center. And wishing you a wonderful Christmas week wherever you are at. Let me mention again, I have a brand new book out called Alive, How to Experience the Resurrection Power of Jesus. I want to say thank you to all of the feedback I've been getting. I really, really, really do appreciate that. And it is a blessing to know how many lives that has touched and already people being healed due to that one. So link below, pick up a copy. Still time to get that for Christmas. Hey, if you can I ask you to help me with something as well? Leave a comment wherever you're watching these videos. It really helps these days warm up the social media algorithm. So leave a comment, agree, ask a question, prayer request. Love to hear from you. And lastly, I want to say, hey, a big thank you to all of my partners as well. We love and appreciate you guys. You know who you are. If you're interested in becoming a partner, link below somewhere. So let's jump into this. We're exploring how to build this relationship with the Bible, the Word of God. And at some level, and I'd really love you to think about this, I began talking about this yesterday, but what is the relationship that you, that I, that we would wish to have with the Bible for the rest of our lives? I know this could sound a depressing thought, but it's actually a really amazing one. One day when you are at the end of your life, hopefully you're in a comfy bed and your family around and you're looking back. And my point is, imagine you're on the last day of your life and you look back and you take stock, you take inventory, you analyze how you have lived. I think we'd all agree there are some decisions we'll be really proud of. I don't think anybody has ever regretted spending more time with their family, their spouse, their kids. I don't think anybody's ever regretted giving away more money to good causes, worshiping God. And I think it's true of all of us, there will be regrets. You know, there'll be things we look back at and go, that was just a waste of time. Things that we'll be ashamed of, things that could be sinful, but things that were just nothing burgers, that were just vapid waste of time. And my challenge to you is, if you're in that place where you're looking back at the rest of your life, what would you be thrilled that your relationship was with God's Word? Imagine you're giving advice to your children, your grandchildren to come. And what relationship with the Bible would you advise them to have? And my point is, can you go back and change yesterday? No. This one thing we do, forgetting that which is behind, we press, as Paul says in Philippians. But my point is, you can look forward. And there are times and seasons in our life where we can change, we can recalibrate, we can realign, we can think, okay, I haven't had the relationship I want with God's Word until now. Can't change yesterday, but I can change today and I can change tomorrow. And I think it is a really glorious truth that we can choose the relationship we have with God's Word. We don't simply want to inherit it from our parents, grandparents, from our church, our denomination, or I think often what has actually defined the relationship we currently have with God's Word is our own failures, our own kind of stutter starts, our own moments where we've just tried our best, but we've learned sometimes badly how to do things. Give you an example. When I was younger, I think when I was about 13 or 14, I learned how to play guitar. I think like a lot of people, somebody showed me 2 or 3 chords and I'd bash away and I'd learn those, and probably for around 10 years, my guitar playing stayed basically the same, and I was self-taught. There's a good side to being self-taught. There's a bad side to being self-taught as well. So I taught myself lots of bad, poor habits. I really did. And I remember to this day the moment a friend of mine, I could tell you what cafe I was sitting in France, said to me, "Graham, why don't you just record yourself?" And he said, "You might be in for a shock when you hear what other people hear." And I thought my timing was pretty good. I'd never really thought much about it. Until when I recorded myself or listened to myself, I suddenly realized that whenever I wanted to, whenever I was doing something more complicated, I would slow down, I would get faster, I was all over the place. It was dreadfully horrible to listen to, but I couldn't hear it. I was filtering those things out. And my point is, there have been, actually for me, several seasons with guitar playing when I've said, hey, I can do a bunch of things well, I can do a bunch of things better than others can, but that's not the point. I want to improve, and I won't improve without putting myself under some discipline. And I think actually thinking about, in this season, your relationship with God's Word and how to change that would really behoove you. Now let me just, I really want to cover one area today because it's so vital. And to me, it is something that absolutely changed my life. And really, I want you to think about the answer to this question. Who or what is the Word of God? What is the Word of God? We use these phrases so flippantly at times, so easily. If I were to say, what is the Word of God? Somebody's going to say, the Bible is the Word of God. I'm going to go, amen. Somebody's going to be clever, and I agree, and go, Jesus is the Word of God. I'm going to go, yeah, amen. I think somebody who thinks a little more would say the Word of God is God speaking. And I think we're, yes, amen to that. You know, I had an experience in about the mid-1980s where I began stepping into ministry. I was working for the Assemblies of God denomination in the UK and just really beginning in ministry in my late teens. And I was really getting frustrated that we in our denomination, the AG or the AOG, they call it in the UK, we believed in healing, but we hardly ever saw people healed. And I began seeking God for an answer to that question. Why is it good people aren't healed? And I'd heard all the excuses, and frankly they are excuses, not God's timing, not God's will, God's trying to teach us something, one day a big move will come, blah blah blah, a million different reasons why we don't see what the Bible says. And I began praying, I think I once prayed and fasted for a few days, really began seeking the Lord. And after several days, the Lord gave me an answer that wasn't the answer I was looking for. And yet, it's never left me. It stayed with me, and it transformed my thinking. And in a way, what the Lord said to me showed me, in the way God can show you something in an instant that can take you weeks, months, years, or probably lifetimes to unpack. Suddenly I saw, it's hard to describe because we all know the verses, but yet we know and we don't know. I saw that Jesus and his word were absolutely one. That the Bible, that the person of Jesus, that God speaking is God himself. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. God and his word are absolutely one. I realized in that instance, back, it was actually at a prayer meeting in the UK in about 1986 or 7, I realized that it's like the Lord sort of asked me this rhetorical question, Graham, what would happen if Jesus walked into your church on a Sunday morning and then offered to pray for the sick? Nobody would doubt they'd be healed if Jesus walked in. Come on, just imagine right now Jesus walked through the wall and spoke to you. Wow. And yet the Lord said to me, Graham, I am there in your church every week. My word is there. My spirit is there. You don't lack any power. You don't lack any potential. the exact same things that could happen if Jesus walked through the wall and was there physically could happen when anybody takes this word and proclaims it. And I suddenly realized that the Bible wasn't what I thought it was. I'd often looked at the Bible as a user manual for the Christian life, the handbook to the Christian life, as if God had given us a book, like a guidebook. Imagine you're going to visit New York City and you're like, oh, I don't know how to do life, what to visit, where to go, what the etiquette is. And somebody gave you this travel guide to New York City. That's how I viewed the Bible, as a list of instructions or admonitions, warnings, laws, promises, whatever, to the people of God. And it is that at a very basic level, but it's so much more than that. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. God speaking is the Word of God. When God is speaking, the means of transmission don't really matter. Now, right now, you are probably listening to my voice either on an audio podcast, possibly on a phone, on an iPad, a tablet, a computer screen, maybe an Apple TV, something like that. And if you sit there and think, most of you probably aren't thinking, I am looking at a screen. I am listening to little samples of a voice coming through my car as I drive. I'm looking at a TV, a plasma TV screen with a little box connected to the internet. No, after a while you forget about the support system and you are hearing Graham speak to you. You forget about the means and you actually connect with the person. And that's actually how we should look at God's word. This is Jesus speaking to me. Now, here's the thing, though. You are listening to my voice right now. Maybe you're reading a blog I write or something like that, and you are hearing my voice. But it's a little bit different when Jesus speaks. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." When I'm speaking to you, YouTube or whatever platform can convey that information to you, because it is simply that, it's information from me to you. When God speaks, we can come to the Bible for information about God and we'll find it. And we can build whole denominations around information, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. We can systematize, we can study the Bible and say, this is true, and this is true, and this is how this relates to that. Create doctrines about our intellectual understanding of God. But that's really missing the point. When God speaks to you, His Word is the vehicle to the Spirit. When God, you could read the Bible and find a verse where Jesus says, like John 14:9, as the Father loves me, I have loved you. And you can believe that. You can intellectually study it. You can go, yes, as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves me. But when you engage faith with the Word of God, the very life of that Word, it literally becomes the same thing as if Jesus walked into your room and said, I love you. And you when you believe it, the Spirit of God behind it, it becomes spirit and life. It becomes alive to you. Just one more aspect as well I want you to realize about the Word of God that we've so often missed. There was a movement in the 18th century that caught this truth and saw glorious things happen. That when God gives you a promise, come on, imagine if I give you my word, I promise I will meet you at 12 o'clock and, you know, buy you pizza or whatever. Just an example. Don't hold me to this, okay? That word, my promise, my word to you is only as good as my integrity. Now, I might do my best to meet you there. I might give it everything I've got, but I could be hindered. I could have a flat tire. The road could be blocked. My road could be flooded. You know, whatever. I might not come through. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I gave you my word, I would come, and yet Satan hindered me. He said, my promise was yes, was yea, and it became nay. And then he said, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And here's something glorious to realize. When you read the Word of God, God is utterly 100% committed to His Word. He's exalted His Word even above His name. There has not failed one of God's promises to somebody who believed them in the whole of history. this is like a check from the, you know, the Bank of England or whatever. Now, that's a bad example because the Bank of England could fail, could be raided, could inflation could eat away, gold could devalue, on and on and on we can go. God can never fail His word. And when we realize that, our life is changed and transformed. I'll give you a quick story. In the 1980s, I began preaching and I was so convinced of this. Suddenly, I began to see healings. I realized that healing had very little to do with my gifting, my power. I realized if I would preach Jesus saves, faith would rise and people would get saved. And if I would preach Jesus is the healer, faith would rise and people would get healed. I once stood up at a famous church in the south of England and announced publicly that that night people would be healed. And if they were not healed, I said, I'm going to rip my Bible up in front of you. I was young, I was a teenager, I was foolish. The elders wrote me a nasty letter the week afterwards. And how dare me, you know, and I completely agree with these elders. That was idiotic and stupid and foolish and lacking in wisdom. And yet, there was something of faith. What I was actually saying is, guys, it will be impossible for me to rip up my Bible because God will never rip up His word. God will always honor His word. Come on, I'm going to end this today, but I want to challenge you. What is your vision? What is your understanding? If you're relating to the Bible like that, you know, dusty Christian handbook. Like, imagine getting some user manual and it's like, it looks like the IRS tax code and you're like, great. You know, who can interpret the tax code for me? My tax preparer. Can I just get the quick start version with one page? And that's how a lot of people are seeing the Bible rather than coming to it and saying, Jesus, speak to me now. Selah. Boom. Guys, I'd love to hear back from you. What does that do? What does that stir in your heart? Drop me a comment. Encourage you to get a copy of that book, Alive. Link, and check out all the links below. Have an amazing day and God bless you.